whom he raised from the dead. And just as our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, the whole hope is that as Christ is raised from the dead, so shall we. There's a resurrection day coming. And the fact that he is gone into glory, he's the first fruits of many, he's the prototype of the church, and as the Father raised up the Son, the same power shall raise us up into glory. This is our expectation. This is why we're waiting. And while we're down here on earth in the muck and the mire of the trials of life, we can rejoice together and say, you know what? Someday this is going to be over. I won't need those rubber boots anymore. I won't need waders to walk through all the issues of life. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Today we're going to be reading here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on the great issues concerning the return of the Lord Jesus. In the book of 1, 2 Thessalonians, we have many references to the return of the Lord. Indeed, in each one of these chapters in both books, we have some declaration concerning the return of the Lord from glory. Let's read together. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so we end the first chapter in 1 Thessalonians. These converts in Thessalonica were marvelously converted from idolatry to become followers of the Lord Jesus, waiting for his return. And today we're turning to the message from the pulpit of our church on this very chapter, and I trust that God will minister to your heart through his word today. I don't think you'd like to be in a church that didn't believe that the Lord Jesus was returning again. You would say, well, it's all over. The Lord's gone from us. He has finished his work on the cross and he has risen from the dead. But he's gone and he'll never be back. My, that would leave us, yes, as Paul said, of all men, most miserable. The doctrine of the second return, the bodily coming again of the Lord Jesus, is a very essential doctrine to Christianity. Of course, it was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus himself. He talked about the coming of the Son of Man. And so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It was declared on the day that he ascended into heaven by those two angels that appeared as men. And they said to the disciples, why stand ye gazing all the day into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And in that we have the bodily return of the Lord Jesus. He's not just coming in some spirit form,
the same body that was nailed to the cross, and the same body that burst out of the tomb, and the same body that ascended into heaven, he's going to come in that glorified human God-man body. And every eye shall see him, so the book of Revelation tells us. Now, there are a number of terms used in the New Testament for this second coming of the Lord Jesus. There's the name parousia, which simply means his appearing or his coming. There is another term, the apocalypsis, which is really the wrapping up of all events. And these terms are used interchangeably. They are the same deal no matter where they are found in the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. Now, it's very clear from the Bible that the day of the Lord's appearing at his coming will include three essential things. And I want you to get these. Number one, he's going to gather out his saints. This world, wherever Christians are, from the four corners of the earth, from every nation, tribe, and people, the Lord's going to gather out his own redeemed. He's returning for his church. That's the first thing. Secondly, he's coming to judge the wicked. And it's going to be a terrible day to be out of Christ. It will be a day when men would rather the mountains fell upon them than that they must behold the face and the glory of the coming of the Son of Man. It's also an event that will usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And there's going to be the redemption of this earth, and there's going to be all things new, and it will be the consummation of all things. Now, when it comes to the teaching of the Lord's second coming, there are many wild and weird things that are taught and stated. And I think it's just best to read the Bible. Throw away the newspaper and all those rags, and let's read the Bible on the matter. And I think you will discover that it will be one great event. On that same day will take place all of those three things. The church will be caught up with the Lord. The wicked will be judged. And there shall immediately be the restoration, or sometimes what the Bible calls the regeneration of all things. The new heavens and the new earth will take place. Now, I want us to take a look at this book of 1 Thessalonians. It has a lot to say about the return of the Lord Jesus. And as I mentioned, on each chapter, there is an aspect of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But let's put the brakes on a moment. Let's not rush into a topic that sometimes for some people is just to be titillating, tickling the ears. This is pastoral. This epistle that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians was to prepare men and women that they would be blameless at the appearing or the coming of the Lord Jesus. And I am your pastor today, and I preach on this subject with a burden for your soul, a burden that it is my responsibility to do what Paul did. Seek to prepare men and women that they be ready for that hour when our Lord shall appear in the glory, when the trumpet sounds. And I have to ask you now, are you ready? There are some who are out of Christ, unsaved, and you're absolutely not ready. There are some who perhaps you profess the name of the Lord Jesus, but your life is out of order. So this becomes a very pastoral and practical message. And you'll see that as we come to these statements in these five different chapters. Let me just rattle through the five things that this adds up to here. The second coming of Christ in chapter 1 is how to live as Christians. Chapter 2, how to minister to Christians. Chapter 3, how to communicate to Christians. Chapter 4, how to comfort Christians. And chapter 5, how to motivate Christians. Now, as I say, this is a marathon, and I can't run very fast, but I'm going to take you step by step just through these things in the meeting today. Chapter 1, verse 10 really is that first statement. And you will see here that the second coming of the Lord Jesus is all about how to live as Christians. And Paul states it here in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. To wait for a Son. That's it. That's the statement of purpose of the apostle for Christians. That's what it means to live as a Christian, to be living, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. He has given us a command to live, to labor, to witness, to pray, to preach, to do the gospel work in the expectation that he will return to reward. And so every Christian is to have this attitude of expectation. You're full of hope. You're full of absolute conviction and certainty that while you're living in a world that is a chaos, a world that's filled with problems and trials and tears, that this is not our home. This is not the end. This is the wilderness for us. This is not where we want to be. We are in the world, but we're not of it. And we're waiting for that day when our Lord Jesus shall appear. Now, in this verse 10, how shall we describe this life of waiting for his Son? Well, firstly, you'll notice that it's Christ-centered, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Everything centered in him. And this is how we're to live, a Christ-centered life. This is how I'm to preach. It's the only way that we can be prepared for the coming of the Lord, is to be focused on our Lord Jesus, to be in love with him, to be telling the world about him, and to be drawing comfort in prayer and devotion, hour by hour, day by day, from the one who loves us. You'll notice that it's also resurrection-based, whom he raised from the dead. And just as our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, the whole hope is that as Christ is raised from the dead, so shall we. There's a resurrection day coming. And the fact that he has gone into glory, he's the first fruits of many, he's the prototype of the church, and as the Father raised up the Son, the same power shall raise us up into glory. This is our expectation. This is why we're waiting. And while we're down here on earth in the muck and the mire of the trials of life, we can rejoice together and say, you know what? Someday this is going to be over. I won't need those rubber boots anymore. I won't need waders to walk through all the issues of life. I will see the King, and we shall live with him for all eternity. You'll notice too in verse 10 that it's gospel-based, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There's your salvation. And this is why we're so glad to be a Christian. And to be in Christ, we're saved from the wrath to come. For the Christian, when the trumpet sounds, there's no wrath. We're delivered from that. When the judgment day is set up and the bema seat is in order and the God of heaven has appointed his Son to be the judge of all the earth, the child of God has nothing to fear because we're delivered from wrath. And you can trace that to the cross where the blood of Jesus was poured out because Christ took our hell and our sufferings in our place. Now, going back to verse 9, you'll notice also that it is separate from the worldly idolatry. The testimony of these Christians at Thessalonica was that they were dramatically converted from idolatry to waiting for God's Son. And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Isn't it a great thing that there's no idols in this church today? Do you see one? If you find one, you tell the elders of this church, we have not come here to worship idols. We have one object of faith, the Son of God. And we are looking to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And our hope, our confidence, our everything is in him. And we come here to worship under the banner of the gospel, under the headship of Christ, and in reality, we're waiting. We are preparing ourselves for that hour when he will come again. And what a wonderful, wonderful hope is then born in our hearts. Now, can you agree that this is a description of your Christian living? Maybe you're a business person, maybe you're an employee in some firm, and you've got a clock in those hours, I know that. You got to get up in the morning when the alarm clock goes off and commute to work and put in the day of labor. But is that what you're living for? Is that your hope? Is that your confidence? You might be a student and you're aspiring for a career and you want to get through university and you want to complete your education that you might get that job that will pay you and give you a certain lifestyle. But is that the end for which you're living? Christian's purpose of living is to prepare for the coming, waiting for the Son of God to appear. Now we go to chapter 2 and to verse 19. And here we have the second coming and how to minister to Christians. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our joy, our glory, and joy. This is the purpose of ministry. To prepare the saints to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming. And that was Paul's goal. And as you read the context here, you'll see that that was his delight. It was his joy. It was his rejoicing. It's what he ate and slept for the welfare, the preparation of God's people, that they will be in the presence of the King at his coming. It's not enough that men dress up and come to church. Doesn't matter what clothes you wear, when the Lord Jesus returns, it's not going to get you into glory. It's not enough that you pay into the church. Now the church has a budget. We need funds and we need support. But all the money that you put into that offering is not going to prepare you for that day when Jesus returns. And it's not enough that you sing along, even to hold the hymn book high. It's not enough. You need to be born again, and you need to be built up in the faith. You need to be rightly related to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to be saved and sanctified, shining forth the very gospel life in your own soul. And we want to see it. The Lord said, by their fruits ye shall know them. So we want to hear your testimony. You love the Lord. You're trusting in the cross. You believe that he died for you. You express that in prayer. You come to the prayer meeting of the church and you tell the Lord that you love him. That's fruit. That brings joy and gladness to the heart of God's people in the church. Now, those that don't bear witness of that, have no gospel fruit in their lives, we would tremble and fear that on that same day when the Lord comes for his people, his church, that it will be the day when he will, by his glory, destroy the wicked. And I trust there's not one here today that is in that condition, that you will be destroyed by the brightness of his appearing. Now let me back that up, going to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7. And you'll notice that these two things happen together. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And so for the Christian, it's going to be rest. Nothing to fear. It will be a happy day, a wonderful event. But, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is someone that won't trust Christ, won't come to baptism, has no interest in the communion feast, has no interest in the life of the church. We weep for you. We fear for you. We tremble that your soul is not ready for that hour when the Son of God shall appear. It will be a tragic day, a day when you will come under the vengeance of a God of wrath because you're not a Christian. And so Paul, his whole effort, his whole ministry was to prepare men and women and people for that day. And so we befriend you today in Jesus' name. We seek to encourage you to hear his word and to have you come to hear the glorious message of the gospel, how you can be saved. This is our purpose. And our joy and rejoicing will be when you become a Christian and when we see the evidence of the new birth and a new life and you walk with God. And I want to preach sermons that will prepare souls for that day. That's what I must do. This is one of the difficult things of being the preacher in the pulpit. There's 1,000 topics you could preach on. Some event of the week or world events. But what you need is to be prepared for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. When you read in the Old Testament prophets, they cried, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Prepare. And I call the church to prayer for this. Every man and woman, every mother and father, every grandparent, every professing Christian, the work of this church is to unite together in prayer, to plead with God that men and women, our children, our families, our friends, will truly be ready for that great day when Christ comes. Then into chapter 3, verse 11, and we see how to communicate as Christians about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. Now, this is really a prayer of the apostle. And that's why I say that this is very pastoral and it's very practical. It's not just merely the titillating doctrine of the great day of Christ's return. It is all weaved into how we pray concerning the Lord's return. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. And as I say, this is Paul's prayer. This is his burden, that men and women will be found, as he says here, unblameable, living godly, living right, doing the right thing when the Lord returns.
He chose them, see them, it's his grace.
Well, do thank you for joining with us on the program, listening to the message today, 1 Thessalonians, on the return of the Lord Jesus. And as I have mentioned, one of the remarkable things about this book is that each and every chapter in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians has a reference to the return of the Lord Jesus. It was a major doctrine, a major pastoral doctrine to the Apostle Paul in the first century. Now, I have just a few questions I want to raise here, and that is, waiting on God's Son is a description of Christian living. And that really overrides everything that we do, everything that we participate in as Christians, that we are waiting, preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's why we have church. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we gather together in prayer, that we might be preparing, equipping ourselves for that day when the Lord returns, that he will find us growing in grace and abounding in the Lord. And this becomes then the purpose of ministry in the church, to prepare saints for glory. This is what the pastoral work is all about. This is why we preach and teach. This is why we counsel people. This is why we come here on radio and bring the message to you wherever you're at, that we might prepare the saints for glory. It's not enough just to sing. It's not enough just to give money. You must be born again. You must have a new heart, a new nature, and you need to be rightly related to God through the crosswork of the Lord Jesus. And for this, the church needs to be burdened. It's not merely a matter of flippantly doing church, but it is a matter of ministering to hearts, preparing individual souls for heaven and the day that Christ comes when he will judge this world. So I trust that you're ready, and I pray that these messages, day by day here on this radio station, will bring you into a right relationship with God, that you are ready for the day when the trumpet sounds and Christ returns. And so, I thank you again for listening. Stay tuned as we come now to the closing announcements.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.